And to Nora, to Reinhardt, to Arnold, to everybody, and to Rebecca for getting me involved in this and honouring me by inviting me to participate in her installation. So I understand that after this you're going to watch Maria Aronofsky's film. I haven't seen it yet. I'm very excited. She made two films about reproductive technology. I think we can't have enough films, enough installations, enough books, and enough exhibitions about it. It's a huge and vitally important topic. I am a woman in my 40s trying to make a baby and trying to make a film about women in their 40s making babies. I've just started, so you're going to be seeing basically research notes, the clips that I've been shooting in the last few weeks, and then hopefully I'm coming back in a year with a finished film. But so, like many women of my age, I thought I would get to 40, and if I wanted another baby, I have one daughter already, I would just get to the clinic, pay a bit of money, stick my legs over my head, and get myself inseminated. It doesn't work like that. I got a real shock during the first interview I had with a doctor, and here you can see what they said to me.
You have ovarian insufficiency. That is not really a disease in your case, but it's related to your age. We have women your age that still have good and more ovarian reserve than you have, and we have other ones that are already menopaused. You are in the middle of it. The only option we can offer now, today, because there is no treatment to increase the quality and the number of eggs you have on your ovary, the only option we will be able to offer you will be the egg donation.
So there we go, a door slammed in my face for having a baby with my own eggs. So I went to get a second opinion and a third opinion and a fourth opinion. I went to seven of the best clinics in Barcelona, which is a world capital for in vitro fertilization. And while the percentages varied, they didn't vary much. I was given between a 5% and 7% chance of having a baby with my own eggs. And the one thing every clinic told me was the same: get a donor egg. I'll get to donor eggs later. But I decided to hold on to my 5% chance like a teddy bear and try to have a baby with my own eggs. What I've learned about IVF since then is that the success rates are very low, 20 to 30% using your own eggs at all ages. If you are my age, it's under 10%, invariably. And there's also the cost factor here, because once you're 40, if you want to have a baby with your own eggs, once they have fertilized the egg inside you, they take it out, they put it in the lab, they leave it for 5 days to see if it grows into an embryo, and then you need something called a PGS test, which is like a live biopsy where they take a couple of the growing cells and they tell you if it has any genetic abnormality. The total is 9,000 euros, the same as getting a donor egg. And most couples, or most women, will need 3 to 6 attempts and up to 4 years. The world record attempts of IVF with a woman's own eggs was 61 times. In the US, she got pregnant in the 61st round. She probably needed a psychologist for the rest of her fucking life, though. So that's a lot of money. So faced with all these little and big angry numbers, I decided to investigate state-of-the-art reproductive technology and look around the world at really what's coming out and what's on the horizon. And as all of these treatments are at clinical trial tests, at clinical trial stages, they've been tested on mice, maybe a frog or a horse, and they're just starting to test on the first round of humans. So I thought, fuck it, nothing to lose, I'm going to sign up. So I had a look around, I discovered some amazing treatments, some very brave scientists, and I'm going to share a couple of them with you that I'm hoping to undergo that I think will really change the paradigm for women over 40 trying to make babies in the future. The first one is Embryo Tools. They're in Barcelona, and they are doing an egg optimization technique called maternal spindle transfer, or MST. MST, WTF, was what I thought. But if you go onto Google, there is actually a robot that will tell you what this process is. in a few words.
Spindle transfer, more properly spindle chromosomal complex transfer, is a genetic manipulation technique where the donor's nuclear DNA but not her mitochondrial DNA is transferred to the receiving egg. It may be used to treat mitochondrial diseases.
What the fuck, basically. Okay, so I'll break this down. Our eggs. The bit with our genetic information, the core, is called a spindle. Think of it as a thin line. It's covered in cytoplasm, the gooey stuff, with little kind of energy packs for the cells called mitochondria. And what they do in a spindle transfer is they take the mother's core, the stick, and all of her information out of the gooey stuff, and they stick it in a donor's gooey stuff, in the oocyte, in the covering, and then you've basically got a perfect egg. This was used to treat women that had diseases in the cytoplasm, diseases in the mitochondria. And it became really controversial because when you took the spindle out, you got a little bit of the damaged cytoplasm and there could be some collateral damage. So when they were trying to research this and make it better, these doctors discovered that it could actually be used to treat infertility on the condition that the mother's genetic core was healthy. The problem in women of my age is that only 3 in 10 of my eggs are chromosomally healthy. So the risk with them doing this on me is that they will take a damaged genetic core, put it into a healthy egg, and I will produce a genetically damaged baby. So they're doing the first trials now on women under 40. They will be doing another round on women aged 40 to 43, should this work. The first baby is due in April. And then for that second round, I want to be on it, basically. So the great thing about this technique for me is that there are not two mothers. And this takes a lot of the problems away because a big issue now for donors of sperm or donors of eggs is anonymity, because there is no anonymity. There's ancestry 123, we don't have anonymity. So that leaves the mother or the father with a dilemma. Do I tell my child part of you came from a Petri dish? And do I relieve my own guilt by putting a problem on their shoulders? Or do I just shut my mouth and live with a guilty secret and the consequences of it? So this is really useful because the mitochondria doesn't affect the genetic characteristics of your child. So it's the perfect donation technique. Here's what Dr. Nuno Costa at Embryo Tools told me last week.
So there's no point in a donor child of mitochondrial DNA donor ever looking for their other mother.
No, the nuclear genome that's coming from the patient is the one responsible for the phenotypic characteristics of an individual. So when we are doing this method, we are preserving these characteristics, so the new individual will be genetically similar to the mother, not to the donor.
That solves a lot of problems.
Exactly.
So you see, one mother and one donor that's basically giving the same as a glorified blood transfusion. And I think this does really solve a lot of problems. I've heard that in Austria now, a sperm or an egg donated child can actually sue their biological, inverted commas, parent if they wish to. So the other scientific sword in the stone that I'd like to share with you is called AI-enhanced embryo optimization. And there's a startup in Australia called Life Whisperer, and they're at the helm of this. Their software has just completed its clinical trials, and it's going to be in clinics in Europe, in Australia, and in the US next year. So basically, when you do IVF, which I'm now on my second round, they pump you full of a lot of hormones, one of which is made from the urine of menopausal women, and then they basically knock you out. They harvest your eggs, and then they fertilize them, and they grow into embryos. And an embryologist looks at these embryos down a microscope and decides how good they are based on quite a rudimentary scoring system of 1 to 5. So the big decision about a child's future depends on a human eye. And of course, there are variables in this. So what Life Whisperer's software does is it uses an algorithm and a classification system based on a huge database of good embryos, medium embryos, and bad embryos. And this helps to inform the embryologist's decision, which informs the fertility doctor's decision, which really helps the patient make their decision as well. And it's also going to be very important in the future because embryo adoption is being legalized around the world. A couple of months ago, it was legalized in the UK and Australia. So it's much like adopting a child, except you're adopting it at a very, very early stage. And as crude as it sounds, there might be three or four embryos because these have been discarded by couples that were successful, had leftover embryos, and just left them in the freezer. So it's kind of sustainable, it's recycling. And if one doesn't work, as crude as it sounds, you have two more options in the freezer, or three more options, or five more options. So it looks quite good. So I haven't actually met Michelle Perugini, the founder, yet. I have spoken to her on the phone, but I'd like to share with you the Skype interview that made me put down my pen, get on the phone, and say, I need you in my film. So this is Life
Whisperer. In Life Whisperer, the high-level goal is to improve IVF outcomes by helping doctors to pick the best embryo to transfer during the IVF process. So currently that process is done largely manually by a clinician or an embryologist looking down a microscope and making a visual assessment of a patient's embryos. And it's very hard for them to pick which embryo they think will likely succeed in that process. And what we're doing is using computer vision, and we've developed an AI-based software that can better assess what a healthy embryo looks like or what a poor embryo looks like to inform their decision, if you like. And the way it works is, essentially, we've got a very large data set of embryo images that the model gets trained on, and then it knows whether those embryos have resulted in a positive or a negative pregnancy. And then the computer essentially learns, or the software essentially learns from that very large history, and can be predictive in terms of then understanding for a new embryo image that it sees, whether it looks more like a good one or more like a bad one.
It's pretty cool, huh? So the good thing is it's software. So if it's scalable and it's robust, it can be adapted to any clinic, in any country through the regulatory system. And it can also be really reassuring, I think, for patients, because it is so nerve-wracking and so expensive that tools like this are really critical to just help keep you calm, and staying calm gets you pregnant. So both of these, I think, are very pioneering. I'd like to do them both. However, there is still an elephant in the room. The biggest problem that women over 40 face, and the holy grail for all IVF clinics, is egg quality. They have not yet managed to figure out a way to take away the negative effects of time, aging, deterioration, to do Botox on your ovaries, if you like. There's a lot of experimentation going on now. But in the case of MST and of Life Whisperer, they can only work with what I've got. So if I have poor quality embryos, even if they stimulate me through three cycles of IVF, which they're suggesting they will do, and they get, say, 9 or 10 embryos, I might not even have one that's good enough. So we'll be coming back to the question of what about egg donation? It's the magic solution, right? I've been told that my 5% chance will transform into 60% chance because my womb can obviously carry a child. I have a 4-year-old. But there's a dilemma here with what I can then tell that child and what I can tell my existing daughter. So I have a good Peruvian friend called Gabriela Vina, who donated her eggs a few years ago when she was at college in Barcelona. And she was paid 900 euros for this. She produced 10 eggs, each of which would have been sold for about 9,000. So we're looking at 900 euros to help her pay her college fees and 90,000 to the IVF clinic. I have a fucking problem with that, huh? If I'm gonna meet an egg donor, I've decided I have to make it a personal transaction. It has to be me paying them, them somehow being involved in the child's life, and no middleman. We'll have to make some kind of deal with the clinic. So Gabriela graduated, became a very important journalist in Spain. She writes for El País, and she wrote a book of short stories. And she included a story about her egg donation experience. It's called Adiós, Ovocito, Adiós. Goodbye, little egg, goodbye. And I'm going to read you an extract. I've kind of synthesized the whole story, but anyway. Right now, in the belly of a stranger, my child is growing. I've got to find something else to call it. Technically, it isn't my child, but it has my genetic information. During the donation process, the doctors called it little egg. I never knew what happened to little egg, only that it transformed into an embryo after being mixed in a test tube with the semen of a man I have never slept with. It was placed into his wife so it could be comfortable, warm, and eat the same food as its mother. We were all Latin American. None of us were over 25. We found out from the posters the clinics hung in our university to attract fertile women with a certain cultural level in exchange for 900 euros and the chance to help another woman have a baby. I decided to do the donation, and one summer morning, I went like any other hopeful to a wealthy neighborhood in the north of the city. The first thing the doctor told me was, "We don't want to waste your time. We don't have any demand for exotic eggs. Couples look for eggs from girls that look like them. They want to avoid gossip, and they have the right to their privacy. If not, they'd adopt a baby from Vietnam." I tried another clinic, and I was accepted. "Who are they?" I asked myself, looking around the waiting room. The receivers are women casually flipping through Hello magazine like me. Married or single, straight or lesbian, they come from all over Europe, thanks to the reproductive tourism boom in Barcelona. Who are we? We are the donors, healthy girls under 30, to whom nature has gifted good ovaries. I am a catalog entry. I am a hair color, a weight, a size, a blood group, a passport photo. Receivers and donors share the waiting room. We look at each other. We smell each other. We need each other, although we don't know each other. 2 months pass since my first appointment. I've seen the gynecologist, the biologist, the psychologist, and they've given me 1,000 injections. I'm passed back to the biologist, who will supervise my hormone treatment. And at the same time, they start the search for the receiver. Within a month, I will have my eggs extracted. The biologist has prepared a rigorous ovarian stimulation program, which synchronizes my menstrual cycle with that of the donor. In the days living up to the donation, I can't take contraceptives or have sex, as I risk getting pregnant with triplets. I'm in a terrible mood and I cry. They warned me that this hormone overdose would feel like 7 periods at once. Each morning, a stern nurse injects me with estradiol to produce the eggs that the doctors will force to grow like farmyard pigs. On the 10th day, there are 10 mature eggs of 20 millimeters, the size of cherries, ready to be relocated. I feel so swollen, I cannot walk. Then I'm put in room 11 on the first floor. Earlier this morning, the woman who paid for little egg went to the clinic. They will anesthetize me, extract the eggs with a giant needle inserted into my vagina, while the doctor watches it all happen on a screen. When I come out of surgery, they'll tell me how many eggs are available. Her husband will go into the bathroom with a magazine and leave with his semen in a cup. This evening, little egg will be fertilized in a cold, dark lab. In 2 or 3 days, it will be transferred to the receiver. They will use half of the 10 eggs and freeze the other in an embryonic state. I'm very sore for a few days, and I feel like I've overforced my body's nature. But it will pass, the doctors tell me. Maybe the plan for little egg failed and it didn't survive the journey. Or maybe my efforts bore fruit and a couple is expecting a child with Peruvian roots. Or maybe it's an embryo frozen for research on cloning that will save humanity. I like to think of it as a tiny body traveling towards the light. Sleep well, little egg. Egg donation used to be free in Spain and in many other countries. In 2004, the government passed a law that clinics could pay. And from that moment on, mass recruitment campaigns have started in the universities of many European countries, egg farms in the Ukraine and Poland. It's something I think we should really think about. It's off my list. So, I put together a very rough trailer of the film. I hope you enjoy it. It's a bit patched together, but here we are.
Ovarian reserve is critical. If we even get embryos, only 30% of them will be normal. But there are things we can try.
I want another child. I never realized what I was up against. You see all these Hollywood actresses giving birth in their 40s. They're all using donor eggs. They say I have a 5% chance of having a baby with my own eggs.
There is a new treatment being piloted in Greece that blends the mother's genetic core with the membrane of an egg donor to create a viable embryo. It will change everything for women over 40 like you. It's not legal here yet, and they are only testing on women under 40.
I want to talk to the doctor.
I want to do the pilot.
La gente cree que quedo con mujeres que he conocido online y que lo hago simplemente por conseguir dinero o sexo fácil. Es una llamada para ayudar a las mujeres que tienen dificultad para tener un bebé de forma convencional.
I'm 43, I'm single, and I want a child. I don't want to go to a clinic. I want a co-parent, a contract. I've met someone and just a baby that I think I can do this with.
They call us Tinder for sperm and eggs. We're a global community of men and women that want children. I was 35, I was single, and I wanted to be a dad. But I couldn't talk about that. So I set up Just the Baby. It's honest, it's real.
It's pretty weird watching yourself be born.
I was one of the first test tube babies 40 years ago. Nobody knew what our future would be. If we'd be normal, if we'd have our own kids.
This isn't the dream I had as a little girl.
Por supuesto que quiero conocer a mis hijos.
I just got to know I tried.
If you want to give it a shot, you can. It's got to be right now. We are with you.
I'm in.
Mum's the word.
So there you are. And last but not least, I'd just like, if any of you are going through IVF or you know somebody that is, the only advice I could really give you is be your own baby. Love yourself, nurture yourself, talk to yourself gently, and just remember that miracles fucking do happen. So thank you very much.